Okay, let's begin. We're up to Divrei Hayamim, Perek Beis. Let's start from Pasuk Tes. I think we just began Pasuk Tes, but let's start again on Pasuk Tes. Now, I have here a handout. I gave an old view handout. This is the handout that I gave on Friday. This handout is partial. There are more names that are missing from this that we're going to do today than appear on the handout, but It's good. Too many names. It's a little confusing. It's just kedai to focus on the ikarim, and we'll work with this. This sefer we have to know. This sefer was not written for the text. It was written for Rashi. This sefer was written to explain every Rashi in Tanakh. It's a 3-volume set. So he doesn't feel compelled to go through the psukim. I searched the best I could. I could not find anything that has nice charts and tables for the psukim. I'm just a little shocking. Even the art scroll, they have very, very little. So in the meantime, for today, at least for today, this will do for us. Okay, so the Pasuk Tes. Pasuk Tes is V'nei Ches Shor Nasher Noila Lo Es Yirach Me'el V'es Rom V'es Kilu Voy. Now let's look at this chart to get an idea of where we are holding. On the very, very top we find Yehuda. He's in the center. This is Shevet Yehuda. Yehuda had 5 sons. We all know the 5 sons from Chumash, Er, Onan, and Shelah. Er and Onan were both married to Tamar. We see on the top, Yehuda was married to Bathshua. Bathshua gave birth to 3 children. Yehuda gave his oldest son Er to Tamar. Er died. Onan was, so to speak, miyabim her. Onan died. And then Yehuda withheld Tamar from Shelah, his 3rd and youngest son. Because he was afraid, the Pasuk says very clearly that he was really afraid that Shelah, his 3rd and only and last son, would die just as his other 2 sons died because of Tamar. She was a katlonis. She caused them to die, either whatever the reasons were, whether was it her fault, was it their fault, was the nisayon too great. She obviously was a very beautiful woman. Whatever the story is, that's not for now. Eventually, we all know the story from the Torah. What happened was Tamar disguised herself as a zona. And when she realized that Yehuda had no intent of giving Shelah to her in marriage, she disguised herself as a zona, and Yehuda was with her, and they produced twins, Peretz and Zerach. And we know from the Torah the story where it was told to Yehuda that Tamar, his daughter-in-law, was pregnant, and he did not know at that point in time that she was pregnant from him, so he thought that she was Mizane, she had done an Avera. It was not proper at that time for a woman of her stature, from that was once part of his family, to do something like this. And if we gave the command that she should be burned, it's interesting that not everyone learned that it means literally that she should be actually killed. Burned in fire means that she should be branded. The Chizkuni says v'tisaref means she should be branded on her forehead. That a kayin, that this woman, everyone ever will ever see her on her forehead, there'll be a mark on her forehead that she committed an avera, because her sin did not deserve death. She was a penuya, she was not a married woman. So she was a Shemeres Yavam, it's a sugi before Matan Torah. Okay, to what degree? But the Chazkun does not take the pasuk literally that she should be executed, but it means that she should be branded as a zona. Alright. She had 2 sons, Peretz and Zerach. Last week, on Friday, we went into great detail the children of Zerach. So you see Peretz in the 2nd line. So now we have a grand total, 5 children. That's something very unique to Divrei Hayamim. We list the 5 children of Yehuda, Er, Onan, and Shelah, Peretz, and Zerach. We then list in great detail all of the descendants of Zerach. A long list of descendants we had, and who was notable. That's important for us to know for Tanakh. Achan. Achan, in the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua, Achan, he took from the Cherem of Yericho, and from that many people died, and there was a very great sorrow. who's called here Ochor Oicher Yisrael, a new expression to describe Ochon. That's the purpose of Divrei Hayamim. Divrei Hayamim sheds light on stories that appear, incidents that appear in Tanakh, and we define Ochon as the Ochor, the ugly one, who was the Oicher Yisrael at this point in time when they came into Eretz Yisrael, the first moment of conquest, he sent. Okay, so we went to all of the sins of Zerach, a long list of details, and now we come back to Peretz. And that's what we're going to do now over here. Now, Peretz is a very complicated family history, and from the most complicated ones of Peretz's family is Chetzron. So here we have, I have to go a little bit further. We have Peretz, and Peretz had how many sons? Peretz had three sons: Chetzron, Avia, and Chomul. Three sons are listed as children of Peretz. Now in Pasuk,
there's no line between Peretz and Avia.
Yeah, right.
I'm sorry. I made a mistake. That's his wife. I'm sorry. Two sons. I'm sorry. What am I saying? I'm making big mistakes. I'm sorry. He has two sons. Just two sons. Chetzron and Chomul. Avia is his wife. That is correct. I'm sorry. Two sons. Chetzron and Chomul. Now Chomul, we don't know much about. We don't have much details about Chomul. But now we're going to learn about the children of Chetzron, which are rather complex. So here we go. Pasuk Tes of Nei Chetzron Asher Noila Lo, and the children that were born to Chetzron. Number one, S Yirachmeel. Number two, the Esrom. The number three, the S Kiluvoi, which we know as Kolev. Now, why is there an extra yud at the end of the word Kolev, which changes the pronunciation of Kiluvoi to Kolev? So the commentators say that whenever there's a yud at the end of a name, it means he's not just a single person. He represents a major family in Klal Yisrael. This was a style of writing, a style of indicating that this person, from him would come great, great things. Malchus really came from Ram, but a very, very great family that would contribute to Klal Yisrael would come from the family of Kalev, and therefore we add the extra yud to the end of his name, Kiluvoi. Now before we go to Kalev, the Pasuk first tells about Ram, and is very appropriate for Erev Shavuos. He can't do better than this for Erev Shavuos. The Ram, we skip to, we have a list over here of the three sons of Chetzron, and we list right away Ram. The Ram holides Aminadav. The Aminadav holides Nachshon. That's Nachshon ben Aminadav Lamata Yehuda. He was the prince. He was the Nasi. He was the one that brought the carbon. He brought the carbon on behalf of his tribe. He was the one that jumped into the Yam. According to tradition, he was the first one to jump into the Yam. Nachshon ben Aminadav Lamata Yehuda. He brought the carbon. What else do we know about Nachshon? Okay, it's listed, maybe it'll come to memory. There are a few very important things about Nachshon. Some learn that he died in the first year of the Midbar. That he, even though he played such a prominent role in Kriyas Yamsuf, and he brought the carbon when the by the Chanukas HaMishkan, but he died in the second year of Yitzias Mitzrayim, which was the first year they were in the Midbar, shortly after the building of the Mishkan. And then he was succeeded by, as the Nasi, his son, Nachshon ben Aminadav was the Nasi. He was and also other thing important about Nachshon is that he was the leader in the Golem, last week's parasha. Nachshon ben Aminadav, the Sheva, we learned the Golem surrounded the Mishkan. There were 12 Shvatim, and the 12 Shvatim were divided into four parts, and each of the four parts were three Shvatim, which had a leader. And the siman to remember the leaders was the term Adir. Adir, Bamarom, Hashem, Aleph is Ephraim, Dalid is Don, Yud is Yehuda, that's Shevet Yehuda, and Reish is Reuven. So who was the leader of Shevet Yehuda, who led that side of that Degel? Those three Shvatim was Nachshon ben Aminadav. Okay, then we have Holides Nachshon, who was the Nasi Bnei Yehuda. Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'Nachshon Holides Salma. Now in Sefer Rus, coming up second day Shavuos, we read Salmon. Okay, so the names are spelled differently. I don't know exactly.
It's both, actually.
it says kivuch siv.
Both Salmon and Salmon.
Where in Rus?
Rus.
Where it's a kivuch siv, or it says to Timsukim? To Timsukim? Okay.
I forget which comes.
Okay. So he was known by two names. I'm not sure the significance of that. But Salmo and Salmon. This Salmo holid es Boaz. Ah, so Boaz, we all know from the story of Rus. Boaz holid es Oved. The Oved holid es Yishai. And then we have Pasuk Yud Gimel V'Yishai. And Aleph is added to Yishai. V'Yishai holid es Bechoro. His firstborn. So now we go through his seven sons. Before we do that, let's explain why is there an Aleph in Yishai. Because he was the perfect Ish. This is a theme which goes back to the beginning of Divrei Hayamim. There's Adam, Sheis, and Enosh. Enosh comes from the word Ish. Ish means a man, and it means in this context it means the ultimate man. Yishai, Chazal tell us, did not die due to sin. He was one of the few people who did not commit a single sin his entire life. He only died because of the Gzeira, that there shall be death because of the chait of Chava, the Nachash, be'it yoy shall Nachash, due to the sin that the Nachash caused Chava. That's why he died. So there's an Aleph that's added to his name to indicate that he wasn't just his name Yishai. He personified what man can become, what man shall be. In fact, he was the father of David. He was the father of Malchus. Just like we call Rus. Rus was the Ima Shal Malchus, so to Yishai, to a certain degree, was the father of Malchus. He, David, can trace his greatness to his father Yishai. In Eretz Yisrael, there is that they, I think they speculate, they know where the Kever of Yishai is. And then I was once there when you go to the Ma'ariv Samach, you go to Kever Rachel. When you go to Kever Rachel, the Ma'ariv Samach Pela, I don't remember one of those two. They take you on the tours. They take you. They stop on the way. I think it's Maris Machpela. When you go to Maris Machpela, the tours, they stop. It's on the highway. Some of the tour guides, they stop. They take you to the Kever of Yishai. It's the middle of nowhere. It's the middle of nowhere, a little cave somewhere, and you have to go up a little hill. It's a popular place to visit. Is it really Yishai? I think they tell you they're not exactly sure, but they do have a tradition, and people go there. They have a whole police station there to protect people that come there. But it's interesting. Yishai is not a simple figure in Tanakh. Next. Now, Yishai had, here we list seven, we list really eight. So let's see what it says over here. V'Yishai, Hoylid es Bechoroi es Eliyahu. He was the firstborn. He was the one that Shmuel thought would be the Melech of Klal Yisrael. And Hashem said it's not the one. Hashem, and it was in punishment for saying, Ani Horoyeh, I am the seer. Hashem says, you're not the seer. Don't take credit for yourself being a prophet. Hashem says, even though you think he's tall and good looking, handsome, and it appears to be the right candidate, he's not the one I had in mind. He was the firstborn. And then after he was not selected, he went down the line of Yishai's sons. The second one was Avinadav, okay, similar to Aminadav, but here it's a base. Avinadav, the third one, Hasheni, Vishima, Hashlishi, Nisanel Horvii, he was the fourth one, Radai Hachamishi, Oitzem Hashishi, and David Hashavii. Now this is interesting because David in Sefer Shmuel is not called Hashavii, it's called David HaKoton, David the small one. And in fact we know that he had another son, Elihu, was his eighth son. And if you would learn the Psukim simply, you would assume that Elihu was the seventh son, the David HaKoton was the eighth son. And now if it's very nice in the world of Jush, if you're a big darshan, you'll say Chanukah at number 8, L'malo Mechateva, David was L'malo Mechateva, and you'll go and you'll... But that's not the way it is. That's a very important point we have here in Divrei Hayamim that tells us he was the seventh, not the eighth. Yeah.
Why here they give them numbers? In previous when there were multiple children, they said this one, and this one. here they give them counted numbers.
There must be significance on a very simple level. Derech pshat, talking like bare bones pshat, which is, there are more interpretations, is that Ezra wrote, did not, Divrei Hayom is not an original work. It's a compilation of pre-existing works. He took, there was a Sefer Hayichos over here, there was another document over here. These were documents that were preserved throughout the ages in the history of Klal Yisrael. He now came to put together one book that would incorporate everything. And he did not want to tamper with the text of the previous Svarim. So if there was a chapter or a section in the Sefer that listed them by number, and that book, everything was by number. It was consistent. And that was appropriate for what he wanted to incorporate into Divrei Hayam. So he took that section. And then there was another section from a different book that was written by a different person that did not focus on listing family members by number, just listed them in general. And that he felt was appropriate for Divrei Hayam. So he took that. So by taking bits and pieces together, it appears we have in front of us a book that lacks consistency. That appears to be the very simple answer to this question, and that could very well be the answer. Not everyone will be happy with that answer. People who have more a Hasidish tilt will tell you, no, the fact that this has numbers and this family does not have numbers has significance. And it could definitely be true that Eluv Eluv Divrei Elokim Chayim Hashkacha Prat is caused to bring about, it should be in this fashion. Okay, so we have this very, very important Dabbinis Hashri, this is a very famous Medesh, all of the seventh Sachaviv, the seventh day of the week, and David is the seventh, and the seven generations. Moshe was the seventh generation from the.
Album makes a point of what he missed. Yeah. He says because of the way it's listed in Navi.
Yeah.
So
we have to
differentiate because the Navi says
it's misleading.
The eighth gives us the impression.
Cotton, right.
But he says that
it's important.
Really wasn't the youngest. That Eliyahu was the eighth, and he was self-effacing David. So he was called up.
Called the cotton. So he's saying it's a response. It's a response to Sefer Shmuel. Don't make a mistake. When you don't have an issue of being misled in the other Svarim, then we just give the names. Here there is an important point. You may be misled to think that it was the eighth. He was not the eighth. He was the seventh. And he had a younger brother called Eliyahu. Cotton here means in humility. He humbled himself, David HaKotan. Very appropriate for Shavuos. We learn about the Yichus of David on Shavuos. Very interesting, little similarities. Why do we learn Shavuos on Shavuos? So the number one answer that comes up is because we want to trace the lineage of David HaMelech. David was born on Shavuos, he died on Shavuos. And what is Sefer Divrei Hayom all about? The Radak, I mean, over and over, the Iker, the Mefarish here, everyone says the Iker Tam of the writing Divrei Hayom is to trace the lineage of David HaMelech and to give Kavod. So interesting, you have two Svarim that are really doing the same thing. Rus and Divrei Hayom are focusing the same agenda. Okay, so we have over here.
It says that Eliyahu was from same father from Yishai, but not,
not necessarily. So we don't know that, right?
We don't know.
We're right. That's another suggestion of why he's listed. Live differently.
There's other things also. So.
We mentioned when we learned, we spoke about a while, about 2 weeks ago. We spoke about Shavuos. We mentioned this very interesting Medrash. Very, very quickly, is that the Medrash says that David, there was a story. Yishai knew that his yichus was problematic. Yishai came from Rus HaMoavia, and at this point in time it was not clear if a Moavi would be accepted into Klal Yisrael. So therefore he wanted to make sure that he'd have a biological child that would be accepted to Klal Yisrael, so he married, he took for himself a shifcha. A shifcha, because a shifcha, we mentioned this on Friday, the yichus follows the mother. And if he would have a child with a shifcha kenanis, and would then free the slave, then the slave would have the status of a ger, and a ger is accepted into Klal Yisrael. A ger is better than a Moavi. Someone who comes from Moavi is not part of Klal Yisrael, no matter what. They are not Jewish, they're not accepted. But a shifcha kenanis, that has a child, the yichus follows the mother, and if the child is then freed, is a free man, he becomes like has the status of a ger. He's not the best yichus, but at least he's a full-fledged member of Klal Yisrael. So Yishai wanted to be sure that he would have a biological child that would be accepted into Klal Yisrael. So he took a shifcha, And the Shifra did not go for it. She was not happy with this idea. So the Shifra told her mistress, which was Yishai's real wife, what his plans were. And the night of the wedding, she slipped out. The Shifra slipped out. And Yishai's real wife slipped in. And she became pregnant. And when she became pregnant, Yishai said, "How did you become pregnant? I was not with you. I was poirish from you for, says the Medrash, for 3 years. How in the world did you become pregnant? You must have been mizane. The mizane, the child, I never give you a divorce. The child's illegitimate. It's a mamza." And the child was born. Who was it? It was David. And David really was the product of Yishai and his wife, who was a legitimate child, whose mother was a descendant. Yishai was a descendant of Moab, and the wife was a regular Eshes Yisrael. But Yishai did not know this. He thought the child was a mamzer, and all of his brothers thought he was a mamzer. So they pushed him aside. He was a slave. He was an illegitimate, invalid child that did all the dirty work in the home and the farm. And that's why when Shmuel came to anoint the new Melech, and he said, "Bring Yishai's children," David was not invited because it wasn't even a havamina that a mamzer would be the Melech. And then after he went to all the children, he said, "Hashem has not selected. Is there perhaps another member of this family?" And somehow he discovered, yeah, there is. There's a David. But David's illegitimate. Yeah, really? Is he illegitimate? And it was revealed that he wasn't illegitimate. The story came out that really it was that it was not the Shifra Kenanis. That his wife, the Shifra Kenanis, slipped out. And Yishai's wife came back. And then they had this child, David. And it was revealed, David, that's the story of David, how he, according to this very bizarre Medrash. But that would also explain why he had a brother of Eliyahu. Am I pronouncing his name correct?
Elihu.
Elihu, because Elihu was then later, after this Maisa. See, Yishai was poirish from his wife. He separated from his wife before David was born. And that's why the Shifra, so it would appear then that Elihu, who came later, either came from a different wife, or it came at an entirely different tekufa, where something happened, and then later he took his wife back. So there's a very strong separation between David and Elihu because of what Yishai was trying to accomplish at that point in time, suspecting that his children would not be accepting Klal Yisrael because he was from the nation of Moab. Okay, that's the point we have over here. And like I told you, the Medrash says that all sevens are Chaviv. The seventh day of the week is Chaviv. The Shemitah is Chaviv. Yovel is Chaviv, 7 times 7. And Moshe Rabbeinu is Chaviv. He was born in the seven generations from Avraham, if I'm not mistaken. And the seventh month of the year is Chaviv. We have all of the holidays, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, Shemini Atzeres. All sevens are precious. And on the list of the sevens is David, and this pasuk is cited, Vehu Hashvihi, he was number seven. Yes?
I'm trying to understand something. The problem with the Yuchas was on Yishai's side, right?
Yes.
So by marrying...
Okay, this is a halachic issue. I don't know all the details. Sorry, Yochim. Yeah, yeah.
By marrying the Shifcha, what
yes.
That did not erase.
The halacha is that's exactly the point. The halacha is that if a Moavi were to marry a Shifcha Kenanis, this is a halachic issue, and then the Shifcha Kenanis is freed, the child has the status of the mother, not of the father. So it's a halachic issue in the Yichus, which has to be studied. The sources are found in Perek Asar Yuchsin in the end of Masechta Kedushin, and that's where they bring up this whole issue of what is he trying to accomplish, Yishai, by taking the Shivcha. If he would be married, the bottom line is, if he would have been married to a regular Bas Yisrael, Yishai, and had a child, there's no way you can purge the problem of being a Moavi by being married to a regular Bas Yisrael.
It is.
But by marrying a Shifra Kenanis, the halacha, the way the halacha works out is that you can solve the problem. It's not going to be the best Yichus. It's going to be a ger, okay. I mean, a ger is a v'ahavta mes ager. There's nothing wrong with the ger chas v'shalom, but it means as far as there are limitations, gerim do have limitations, but it would, at least he would be a full fledged member of Klal Yisrael. Yeah, Boaz. That's the big discussion. That's a very big topic in Sefer Rus. Is exactly at that point in time there was a big discussion, a big issue. That's the goal. The goal said explicitly, it's Pasuk in Torah. I don't want to ruin my Yichus. I'm not going to marry this woman Rus because at this point in time it's controversial. It's a big controversy in Klal Yisrael. If this halach is correct, my aviv lo my avis, ala shalai kidim eschem alechem v'yayin. The problem with that is that even though the men, the noshim should have gone out to greet the noshim, the men will go out to greet the men, and the women will go out to greet the women. This is a very big difficulty. That's a valid question, and does that strop this drasha of amoyniv lo my avis, amoynis and mayav lo my avis? That was the controversial issue of the day until it was accepted. It was tradition, which we're going to get to in a few moments. Yisra ha-Yisraeli, ha-Yishmaeli, we'll come to in a few moments. And that is why the Goyel in Sefer Rus refused to marry Rus. Boaz said, I have no problem with this. I have a tradition from the Beis Medrash, a Shmuel, a Masi, there is no issue whatsoever. Okay, let's go further. So we have over here the 8 children. It's a very nice chart. This is a really beautiful chart. You get a very good appreciation. This Sefer is fantastic. All the way from Yehuda, Peretz. It's very good for Sefer Rus. Erev Shavuos, you know, here you just, not only do you see Yishai, Yidav, his children, you see all the way back to Yehuda. It's excellent. You couldn't do better for Erev Shavuos. Yehuda, Peretz, come to Chetzroin, and Chetzroin, one of his sons is Ram, Aminadav, Nachshon, Salma, Boaz, Oved, Yishai, and you see here the 8 brothers, David with the Dat, Vuhu, Hashvi. Now we come to something very important for Sefer Shmuel, which we're going to learn in Divrei Hayom as well, the Achyoy Sehem, the sisters. David had 2 very prominent sisters. Who were his sisters? V'Achyoy Sehem, Tzruya V'Avigoyil. Not to confuse Avigail, don't have a wife, Avigail. That is a popular name. Then and now as well, it's very popular. It's a very popular name. But he had 2 sisters. One was Tzruya, and one was Avigail, Uvnei Tzruya. Now it does not tell us, this discussed in Mepharshim, we do not know who their fathers were. It doesn't say this anywhere in Tanakh. And it's a big mystery. Some things look Elihu. Maybe there's something there's more to work with. But the father, who was the father and mother, both. We're not exactly clear how they were sisters. Were they from the same mother, from the same father? It's not exactly clear how they were connected. Here on this chart, they make it seem like they were sisters. They were sisters from the father, from Yishai. Could very well be. I'm not sure of the details. But one thing we have to know, it does say that they were sisters. Tzruya is a woman's name. Not everyone, people are not speaking in Tanakh. So someone can be confused to think that Tzruya is a man's name. It's not. It's a woman's name. Tzruya v'achyaseyem, Tzruya v'avigoyel. Uvnei Tzruya, Avshai v'Yoav. Now these are very prominent people. Yoav, he was the general of David. Very complex relationship with David. Very complicated. And this is Avishai. And so these are all people that are very prominent people, which we're going to learn about in Divrei Hayom. They're discussed in great detail in Shmuel, and we'll see all about them. But right now we just need their names. We have Avshai and Yoav v'Asoel Shelosha. 3 children. 3 Tzruya had 3 children, and here they are. Next, Vavigail Yolda Es Amosa, 1 child. Now here, Vavi, who is the father of Avigail? Who was her husband? His name was Yeser Hayishmaeli. Yeser Hayishmaeli. That was his name. So the question is, why is he called Hayishmaeli? We have in Sefer Shmuel, he's called Yisraeli, not Yishmaeli. So this touches upon a very, very big topic. That we have not only we have Hayishmaeli. There are many people that appear in Tanakh in Shmuel that have names of foreign nations. Uriah HaChiti, okay, one of the most famous biblical figures. Uriah HaChiti, Ches is from the nation of Canaan. You know, you have to wipe them out. They're not allowed to be participants. They're not allowed to, you don't even accept them as gerim. The best they can be are a ger toshav. So what's going on? Uriah HaChiti, we have people from Edom, we have people from Ammon, we have from Gas. We have almost every single nation. We have members of Klal Yisrael that play prominent roles in Tanakh. So who are they? So there's a very large variance among opinions of the Mefarshim. Some learn that they were Gerim. Indeed, they really were Gerim. These are people that their biological roots come from other nations and they converted. How is someone from the members of the nation of Canaan to convert? It's an issue that has to be discussed. I don't know the answers, but Yishmael certainly can be Megayer. They have to inherit Yisrael. There are Yishmael that are Megayer, there are Geri Tzedek, and you want to learn that approach, that's fine. That yes, it was really from a Yishmaeli, and he converted. And why is he called, and this is a very beautiful Jewish, why is he called Yisraeli in Sefer Shmuel and Yishmaeli here? So here in Divrei Hayom we're referring to where he comes from. And he's called the Yisraeli to teach us that he completely removed himself from the nation of Amalek and became a 100% Yisraeli, Yisrael. Teaching us the model ger. The model ger is someone that completely leaves behind any trace of his roots. He was from the nation of Yishmael, Yishmaeli, but he became a Yisraeli. He became a full-fledged Yisrael. Now, there's another very beautiful, we mentioned this and we've learned one on Friday. It's a very beautiful Jewish. Why was he called Yishmaeli? The one that gets credit for the Malchus, this is a shocking Medrash. Many Medrashmen say the same thing in many different forms. In Rus, it's a really Gemara in Sota. It's in Yevamis. Yevamis stuff. I in Zion's a Gemara. So what more do you want in the Gemara? I'll read the Gemara. Yeser Hayishmaeli. Velomeniko Yeser Hayishmaeli. Why is it called the Yishmaeli? El Omarava Melamed Shechogar Charbo Ki Yishmael. He took his sword. He behaved like an Arab. Now we're not familiar with this. Arabs have certain midos. Maybe we're not familiar, unfortunately. They have the charbon. That's said by Esav. Al charbon chotichya. V'hu ye roivek hashos. Yodei ba'kol v'yad kol bo roivek hashos. He shoots with arrows. But the Gemara, Masechta Yevamis, Dafayin Zayin, that they developed. I guess they develop their skills not just from shooting arrows, but swords. Okay, that's the meat of Esav. I don't know what it means, but it's the Gemara. Shechogar charbo ki Yishmael. Jews don't know how to fight with a sword. They have a good air force. Let's not get they're the best in the air force. But Chazal don't praise Klal Yisrael for being good with a sword. Baruch Hashem. Okay, that's not our thing. Shechogar chargo ki Yishmael. And what did he do? V'aman, he said, call me she'ena shemeh halacha zo. Anyone who does not accept this tradition, yidoker b'chev, I'll kill them. What's the halacha? Kach mikublani mi beis dina shel Shmuel Hermosi. I have a tradition from the beis dina of Shmuel Hermosi. Amoini v'loy amoinis. My avi v'loy my avis. That David is mutu lova b'kahal Hashem. Because many people at this time were very frum. And they did not want to marry into the family of David, into Yishai, because they were all illegitimate. They come from the nation of Moab. V'lo yavoi ma'avi b'kahal Hashem. And this answer of Asher lekidmu eschem b'lechem v'mayim dafka men, but not women, because to me darkoi lelech, was not a good answer. Because, that's right, the men should go to the men, the women should have gone out to greet the women. That's the Derech Eretz. So it wasn't an answer that was satisfying. Therefore, many Talmidei Chachamim, Gedolei Yisrael, rejected this halacha of Mayaviv Loi Mayavis, and the bottom line was David, you're illegitimate. Out. Get out of here. Second class citizen, not even that. You're a zero class citizen. You have no rights to, you have no rights to be here. So what was the answer? The answer was, that's right. The answer is not a good answer. It's nothing. This is really the essence of Shavuos. It's halacha l'moshe misinai. There is no reason for it. It's a pasuk. We have a tradition that dates back to halacha l'moshe misinai, that when the Torah says l'yavi amoni u'mavi b'kahal Hashem, amoni v'loy amoinis, mayav v'loy mayavis, the mutar lavoi b'kahal Hashem. And what did he do? Yes, sir, hayis shme'eli. He was a ger. He came from Yishmael. He was trained in the art of fighting with a sword. He took advantage of his talents, his DNA, and he went into Klal Yisrael and he threatened anyone that doesn't want to accept this halacha, I'll kill you on the spot. And they could not fight with him. He knew he knew how to fight, and they did not have the, they were not able to object. And Chazal tell us this is the legitimacy of Es of Yishmael. When the Malach Hagar, they threw Yishmael was about to die, when Yishmael was starving, it was necessary to preserve the soul of Yishmael, that he should not die in thirst. We read this in the Akedah, we read this on Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because of one neshama that would come out of Yishmael, whose name is Yeser HaYishmaeli. If not for him, this halacha would have been forgotten from Klal Yisrael. It would have been rejected because we're not so clear on the Mesorah. They would have put it to the wayside, it would have been gone. And then David would have been rejected. And they would not have been Malchus and Klal Yisrael, at least not the way we know it. So the Yishmael's life was preserved. Hu yihye pera adam, and we have all the tzaras today from Yishmael. Why? In order that there could have come one neshama whose name is Yeser HaYishmaeli to be responsible for the Malchus of Klal Yisrael. Go tell this to the Arab nations. Go tell this to the League of Arab Nations, that the reason why we have Malchus and Klal Yisrael, we have a David Melech Yisrael Chai, and we're singing David Melech, every Zionist party, they say David Melech, Melech Yisrael. Where does that come from? Whatever the tunes are, where does it come from? It comes from the Yishmaelim. They gave us Malchus. Shocking. That's what it says in the Gemara. We read the Gemara one more time. Why the Amar Kol Mi She'ein Hashemeh Halacha Zoy Yidok Bechev Kach Mugodim Beis Dinah Shal Ashmul Ramasi Amoyni Vloy Amoynis Moyev Vloy Moyevis Shirakam. That's what it says, and it says come out the same exact thing in Rus Rab, word for word, very similar. He took use of his midos of Yishmael to restore Malchus and Klal Yisrael. And who was he? He was married to the family. He was married, maybe he had self-interest, I don't know. He was married to Avigail. He was married to David's sister Avigail, who was the father of Amasa, which we'll learn about when we go further in the actual history of David's family. Okay, let's go further.
Where is that Gemara?
That Gemara is in Yevamos Daf Ayin Zayin Omed Aleph, and in Rus Rabba Parsha Dalid, section Aleph, actually section one. Okay, very very critical for our understanding of world history, and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has plans that we have no clue why Hashem does things and all where it's all leading and how things unfold. Let's now go now. Okay, now we go. Let's read the pasuk. Now, Pasuk Yud Ches begins something which is extremely complex and touches on the core of Divrei Hayamim. We are now introduced to Kolev's second son, or third son. Who is the oldest? I'm not sure. We learned here on this chart, this fantastic chart, Chetzron has three sons, Yirachmeel, Ram, and Kolev. So Ram, we know, we went Ram. From Ram came David HaMelech and David's sisters and those four people, Avisha, Yoav, Asoil, Amasa, we'll learn about. But now we go to Chetzroin's other son, whose name was Kolev. We actually called him Kalovi. When we learned the pasuk above, we called him Kalovi. Kalovi, how do we pronounce his name? What pasuk was that? When we mentioned that pasuk, that was a part. That was pasuk tes. Kiluvoi, which we know as kolev. And here we go. Pasuk yudches v'cholev ben chetzron. So we're very clear who we're discussing. Hoylit, he gave birth to es azuva. Really, he gave birth to azuva. So the commentators right away explain to us it does not mean that. It means that azuva was a woman who gave birth to children. For him, she was the mother of his children. Hoylid gave birth. We have to add words into the pasuk. She gave birth to children. The word we read backwards: Azuva gave birth to children. On for Kalev, Hoylid es Azuva Isha, his wife. The es Yirios. Yirios was another wife, a second wife. The Elev Oneha, and these are their children. We're assuming now the children of Azuva. Yesher, Vishayva, Ve'adron. These three children are not shown here on this chart. Now, this chart here shows 1, 2, 3, 4. Those are his four wives. Not all of Macha was not a wife, was a Pilegesh. We'll see the Pesukim, we'll see who these. We're going to leave out some of the names on the chart because it's not relative, it's not important for us. We're just going to focus on the wives. The first wife, the first two wives was Aziva and Yirios, and seemingly the one that gave birth, the first wife, Aziva, she gave birth to three children, which we mentioned over here, Yesher, Shoivav, and Adrain. That Thomas Azuva. Azuva died, okay, pasuk yutes, and after Azuva died, vayikach lo cholev es Ephros. So you look on that right next to the column on the other side, on the right side, you see Ephros, vatele lo es chur, and Ephros gave birth to chur, v'chur pasukhav hoylid es uri, v'uri hoylid es Betzalel. Betzalel was the one who built the Mishkan, Betzalel ben Uri ben Chur lemate Yehuda. Who was, but now we know from this chart, who was Betzalel? His father was Uri, his grandfather was Chur, his grandfather was Kalev, and his great-grandmother was Ephros. And then you go up next, another generation was Chetzron Peretz Yehuda. You see the whole Yichus going back. He was 13 years old when he built the Mishkan. Okay, so now that's Betzalel. Now who is Ephros?
Isn't that Kalev who was married?
Kalev ben Yefuneh, very good. That is the big, big question. Who is this Kalev? We know there's a famous person called Kalev ben Yefuneh who was one of the Meraglim. And Pasuk says, he can't deny this, was 40 years old when he spied on Eretz. So he was one of the 12 spies. There were 12 spies. He was one of the... He was a Nasi. He was a Nasi for Shevet, one of the Nasim of Shevet Yehuda. So obviously, Shevet Yehuda, that means that Nachshon ben Aminadab already died, right? Well, because when did it took place in that same time? Well, it took place at the same period of time. But Nachshon ben Aminadab was the Shevet of Yehuda. And look at his cousin. This was his first cousin. Or his uncle. Really, Nachshon ben Aminadab was his grandfather's brother, was Kalev. If we assume that Kalev is Kalev ben Yefuneh, why is it called Kalev ben Yefuneh? Yefuneh Loshnov to be pointed to turn. Chazal tell us he turned away from the council of the spies. All of his companions, they had a plan to speak Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael and not enter the land. He turned away from their plans and spoke the MS. He spoke good, like Yehoshua and Kalev were different than the other 10 spies. Now, who did Kalev ben Yefuneh marry? We have a tradition. He married Miriam. He married the sister of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, if we assume that this Kalev is Kalev ben Yefuneh, that means that Ephros is another name for Miriam. And indeed, Miriam, every person, and that's what the Divrei Hayom is all about. We take people and we give them multiple names and we interpret their names to bring out important events in their life and important facets of their personality and what they contributed to Klal Yisrael. So indeed, there is an approach. There are many approaches to understand what we're going to learn now. The simplest approach, one approach is that there's one Kalev. There's one Kalev. He was the one that we know as Kalev ben Yefuneh. He's called over here in Pasuk Tes, Ki Luvoi. He's called here in this Pasuk Kalev. He's not mentioned. He's called Kalev ben Chetzron. Kalev ben Chetzron is Kalev ben Yefuneh, who's also Ki Luvoi, which represents, each name represents represents different ideas. Now, the problem with saying this called Ben Yefuneh is, how old was he? Because now I'm not prepared for this section.
Well, the Gemara inside says, giving his old machlokes for ages, and it says that he was at 26, he was a grandfather. So it says it's very difficult.
There are conflicting midrashim among the Chazal. So let's get one thing clear. Let me just show you one thing to make things very problematic by saying that this is called Ben Yefuneh, because. Well, here I have here this chart which I never went over with you. It wasn't really important about what we're learning about. All of the 70 souls of Yaakov Avinu when they came down to Mitzrayim. These are all Pesach in the Torah. Who are the 70 souls? Oh, Yaakov came with Yehuda. He had how many children? It says Er, Onan, Shela, Peretz, and Zerach. Okay, that's on our chart. Who else? Who else entered into the walls of Mitzrayim? Chetzron and Chomol. That's what it says in the Torah. So when they walked into Mitzrayim to spend the next 210 years, there was already a person who was alive and well, whose name was Chetzron. Aha, who is Chetzron? Now, when Chetzron was in Mitzrayim, let's say, how old was Chetzron? So maybe he was a baby. Let's say he was an infant in a crib. They took him in on a stroller, right? Chetzron. They would carry on luggage. They didn't even give him a seat on the plane. His mother held him, right? They took him in. So how old was he when he got married? So let's say he was 20 years old. I'm talking modern day, right? Let's say make believe he was 25 years old when he got married. Remember, they were there for 210 years. Make believe, like today, okay? A bacha, 25 years old, it's already way too old. 25 years old, he got married. And he had a son called Kalev. Okay. Kalev was only 40 years old.
When he went to
spy on the land. Now, they spied on the land approximately 211 years later. That would make it that Kalev is going to be 65 years old. It's only 65 years have passed. If his father, Chetzron, was 25 years old, assuming Chetzron was 25 years old when he had... Make believe Chetzron came into Mitzrayim when he was a baby. They were in Mitzrayim for 210 years. Let's assume a normal person, let's say he got married and was 20 years old, and 25 years old, and he had a baby a year later, and that baby... Now, let's say that child grew up, and he's 40 years old, so how many years... Derech HaTeva would have passed from the time they came into Mitzrayim until Kalev Ben Yefuneh was 40 years old. How many years? About not more than 65 years. But they didn't spy on Mitzrayim, on Eretz Yisrael, for 210 years. So there's something wrong here. The numbers don't make sense. So what are you going to tell me? Oh, I know what you're going to tell me. Chetzron didn't get married. He was an old bachar. He was a bachelor. He was very picky of shidduchim. He had to be about 170 years old before he got married, had a child. Maybe he got married right away. His wife didn't give birth. That's what it has to mean. What? Okay. Kalev waited until he was approximately, I don't know all the numbers, approximately 100, he was a baby when he came to Mitzrayim, and he waited until he was approximately 170 something years old until he got married and had Kalev. So then when it came time to spy on Eretz Yisrael, Kalev happened to be, like the Torah says, 40 years old. So is that likely? It's very not likely. Unless you want to work with an approach, everything in Tanakh is that's the way it was. We don't really know. No one can tell you the way it was.
Don't get fixated on ages.
We don't.
Sheva was 8 when she gave birth to Shlomo.
Look, Betzal was, I know Betzal, Chazal say, was 13 years old. So I remember a person, I was very disturbed. He told me, can't be a 13-year-old boy can be a master craftsman. I said, it's not impossible, it's not ridiculous. There are children, 13 years old, that would gene that can do it. Why? That's not a Chazal that you should pick on. You're all the Chamamari Chazal, I'm not going to give you a hard time. But to say 13 years old can't be a master craftsman, no, that's not from the more difficult Mamari Chazal. But that's a very big problem. So what's the solution? The solution is, but it says here you have Kalev, Nchor, Urim, Betzalel. So what's going on here? So the other approach is that we're skipping generations. We're skipping generations. Chetzron had a different Kalev. There were two Kalevs. Had a son Kalev, Kaluvi, Kaluvi ben Chetzron. And when it says now that Kalev had a son Chor and Urim Betzalel, it means many generations later, we're skipping in between Kalev and Chetzron, there was a Beryl, and there was a Gavriel, and it was a Yefuneh, and then Yefuneh had a baby. You know, let me name my baby after my Elta Zayda, my Elta Zayda Kalev, and there was a Kalev ben Yefuneh that came to the scene, and this was much later in history, and he had a Chur and Urim Betzalel. That is another very important approach to understand the Psukim. This Kalev, is he? Some of the Rishonim say absolutely yes. This Kalev ben Yefuneh, multiple names, Kalev ben Chetzron, how old was he? Do the math. The math doesn't work out, it's your problem. He was 170 years old, so he was 170 years old. Not everyone. Now we're talking about Rishonim, not talking about modern day commentators. We're talking about Rishonim 1,000 years ago. No. That's already a little bit too far fetched. So you see.
So then it starts to get into the whole business, the Mefarshim over there, how and why and what. And the Gemara says, don't get fixated on ages.
Okay.
Because it doesn't figure out anything.
Okay, one last point. Another important point to mention in elucidating this idea is that we're going to go through the Yichus of Kalev, and what's going to happen very mysteriously is we're going to go down Chur, Uri, Betzalel, we're going to discuss a few more names, and then we're suddenly going to disappear. We're going to go to the other side of the family, to Yerachmeel. Why stop in the middle? And then after we finish Yerachmeel, we're going to go back and finish up the Yichus of Kalev. That's what's going to happen now. We're going to break away. We're talking Kalev. A few more details about Kalev. We're going to break away to Yerachmeel. We have a long list. Oh, by the way, let's go back to Kalev and let's talk about a couple more relatives. So many commentators want to show that is a raya, that there are different Kalevs. The fact that we are stopping here, taking a break and discussing a different branch of the family, and then coming back, if we're dealing with the same exact branch of the family and the same names, it's not reasonable that Ezra, who compiled this, would just in the middle of nowhere jump and discuss a new branch, finish up what you're talking about. It must be they're not the same people. The Kalev that we're going to, details that we're going to talk about later on, Kalev is not the same Kalev that we're going to get over here. Okay, so this is just something to keep in mind. It's very confusing, and the truth is, Elu Ve'ilu is written in a very clever way in order to allow us to interpret the Pesukim in many ways. That was the Chochmah of Ezra HaSofer. That's why this is part of it's Chaksum. It's a holy work. It's written in a way which allows itself to be interpreted at many levels. You want to learn Pshat, you can learn Pshat. You want to learn Drush, Remes, Sod. You can learn many different approaches. We'll mention and pick up more on this tomorrow.